Showtime.
The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
The beautiful thing about sports and sports talk radio and just passionate fan bases is there are so many sides that you can take to any sort of topic, debate, all these different things. So it's rare when seemingly everybody agrees that something is a good idea or a bad idea. And this new proposal, which is, I guess, not even a proposal, this is going to be happening in the NCAA, in the NCAA tournament. When you see, you know, somebody as respected as Pete Thamel put something out in a report on Twitter, and there are over 2,000 responses to it on Twitter of everybody saying how bad of an idea it is, it's pretty shocking. But that's exactly what's happening, Chew, because the NCAA has initiated the final steps to expand the men's and women's basketball tournaments to 76 teams. There are some final steps, but according to those sources for Pete Thamel, they said that those are, quote, just formalities. So it looks like starting next year, with a mid-May announcement happening, that the NCAA tournament is going to be expanding to 76 teams, meaning we would see 12 games played by 24 teams on those, I don't even know what we're going to call it. Right now it's the first four on the men's side. They play them in Dayton, Ohio. And they're going to expand that, so it's going to be 12 games, 6 on Tuesday, 6 on Wednesday, before you actually kick off the 64-team bracket on that Thursday. This is an awful idea. This is a terrible idea.
A play-in, essentially, right?
Yeah, I guess.
A play-in.
But they're going to, I mean, it still counts as an NCAA tournament. Like, Chewy, this is the dumbest idea. Because while they did say, yes, they are going to make some money, it's not going to be a financial windfall for these additional games that Tuesday and Wednesday. But for... To me, one of the biggest reasons the NCAA tournament took off is people love filling out the bracket. Brackets are fun. Mm-hmm. You have now made filling out the bracket the one thing that every fan loves to do around these events, whether it's the men's or women's tournament. You have now made that substantially harder. You have made it more difficult and harder for people to do the funnest thing that they love to do every March. And it doesn't make any sense why you would do this. Like, why are we adding more teams to this tournament? It's because not like those teams have a chance at winning a national championship, Chew.
It's a money grab. That's all it is. It's like every... I mean, I'd like to blame them, but I can't. Why is the NFL adding an 18th game? Money. You know? Why did up the amount of teams that can make it to the playoffs? Money. You know? It's just a money grab. Which is all, I believe, driven by gambling. Who's going to watch Southwest Idaho play?
I mean, that's the only way place they're getting the money, Chew. Because, like, at some point, there's diminishing returns. Like, at some point, we are going to hit diminishing returns.
Yeah.
And I think we're there for the NCAA tournament. Like, if less people start watching, you're not getting as much money for your games. And maybe I'm wrong, but I think people love filling out brackets. And you have now you basically have to fill out your bracket sometime between 11 o'clock Central Time on Wednesday and 11 a.m., you've got a 12-hour window to fill out your bracket. Like, how dumb is that?
No, I know. Like, do you guys watch the play-in games now? I don't.
I'm trying to think if any of the games ended up being good. Like, if I know the game's, like, close in the last 10 minutes and I see it on social media or whatever... Yeah, I'll flip over and maybe watch the last handful of minutes.
Yeah, and there's probably a ton of people like you, and there's also probably a ton of people that bet on the game because they love to bet, and that's what's driving the thing.
What if you bet on it and don't even watch it?
You can do that, too.
Because I would bet that's probably the majority.
Well, if DraftKings or FanDuel or whatever is getting your money and they're spending it, you know, to be an advertising sponsor, a broadcast sponsor, then, yeah, I guess.
But, I mean, look what fantasy football's done for the NFL. I mean, are you watching the Jets versus the Raiders?
Some people are.
week 15 on Monday? No. Well,
the numbers would tell us people are.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. If it's on Monday Night Football,
because of fantasy football, and they want to know how their players, you know.
Which is why, and honestly, Chu, like when they were talking about going to the 18th game, but players are only allowed to play 17, one of the reasons that people pushed back was, well, that makes fantasy football harder.
Yes.
Because who knows when your star players are going to be sitting out and all these sorts of things. And that just makes fantasy football harder, and people would push back on that. Again, they said that there would be a profit. It's not going to be a windfall for these teams. I just, this isn't anything we need. Like, nobody's clamoring for this other than coaches in these sports who are trying to say, look, I made the NCAA tournament last year. Yeah, there's 76 teams, man.
Yeah.
I hope you made the damn tournament. Like, that's the only people asking for this are conferences who want their teams to be involved with this more. The fans, seemingly to a person, at least a reaction that I saw on social media. And if you disagree with this, feel free to give us a call at 800-990-3776. The fans are not asking for this whatsoever. The fans would prefer that expansion does not happen.
I'm sure the NIT's not happy.
The NIT probably just needs to go away at this point.
Well, I think it eventually will, but I'm sure they're not happy about this. Not that anyone really watches the NIT anyways.
Yeah. And I think that's part of the reason that the NIT is going away, because so many teams just even decline that invitation at this point.
Let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. You think we're going to get to the point where in NCAA football there's too many teams in the tournament?
Of course. So, because they're talking about expanding that thing to 16. Big Ten wants to push it to 24. There aren't 24 teams that can win a national championship. Heck, I mean, there aren't 12 teams. I could see going to 16, Chu, just to make it even, because the teams that have gotten byes, it hasn't really worked out for them. That could be an aberration because it's just 2 years. They're trying to figure out how to deal with it. So I could understand, and I could go, okay, it makes sense to go to 16 so you have an even bracket, no byes. Like, that I can make sense in my head. Going to 24 makes no sense to me for football.
But I think you're going to see more players opting out to play in these games. I mean, what a college football games. When I played, we played 11 games, and that was it, because we sucked and never went to it. They keep expanding and expanding. They're going to get to as many games as the NFL.
Yeah, well, right now you play 12 regular season games.
Yeah.
And then if you make your conference championship game as a 13th, and then there's a bowl game. So 14, maybe more if you make don't go to a bowl game. Instead, you're in the tournament in the college football playoff. And then if you make a run in that thing, Indiana played, so they had a bye, so they played 16 games last year?
Yeah. I mean, so that's a lot. Yeah. And if you're a lock first-round pick and you're in the playoffs, but there's no chance that you're going to make it to the final, I'd be like, I ain't playing.
Yeah.
Right? I was never like that, but now it's all about protecting your asset. I think you're going to see more of the, like we did in the Bulls. You're going to tell me that who was the tight end from Michigan?
Jake Butt.
Jake Butt, who was a hell of a tight end in college. Nothing in pro. You think he regrets that decision? Of course he does.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
And nobody's clamoring for these. Like, I would say those first four games do decent, you know, in terms of the people that are watching them. I mean, who's going to watch the 11th best team in the SEC take on the 10th best team in the ACC Tuesday at 2 o'clock p.m.
Me. Did they give a reason as to if it's not the money?
You don't watch the first four right now, Josh.
Oh, I thought we were still talking about college football.
Oh, yeah. No, we're talking about college basketball.
Yeah. No, I won't be watching that.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. So I don't understand.
You think
understand.
It stops there, Gabe? I bet it doesn't.
No, no. It's 96.
Yeah.
It's the road to 96 now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I think you could make a case for if that initial 96 is its own day or 2 days, that, like, you know, you got games all day happening, then you can make a case for being more entertaining. But expanding the play-in to what it is not, like, adding a handful of games to that, what's that really doing for anyone?
No, it's doing nothing.
Right. Like, that to me is less interesting. I think you can make a case for 96 just because, hey, it's more games. It's it's just the start of a new day now, and then the following day will be the actual tournament, but who knows?
I don't know. How many of those play-ins actually won a game when it went to 64?
Every year,
it feels like there's one.
Yep, every year of the play-in teams ends up making a Sweet 16.
Like a Sweet 16.
Texas did it.
Or at least winning a game to get to the round of 32.
Okay.
Yeah. I believe there's a pretty consistent rate of what ends up happening is the committee gets something wrong, and then there's a team that's just good.
Yep.
And then they play their classic 12-5. They upset that team, and like it's more common than you'd think, but every other team is dead to rights that makes it in, usually. Like,
half those teams are 16 seeds, and... And that's why.
What did Miami of Ohio do? One game?
They won their play-in, and then they lost once they got to the round of 64.
All right, there you go. Yeah, I'm with this. Stupid.
Yeah, it's
stupid.
Yeah, it doesn't make a ton of sense to me, but hey, I guess it's happening, and I guess we'll figure out how to fill out our brackets next March when there are 76 teams in both the men's and women's tournaments. If you've been putting off replacing your windows and door, now is the time, because Pella of Wisconsin is offering 0% interest financing all the way until 2030. That's right, 0% interest until 2030. In Wisconsin, you know, your home takes a beating year-round. The heck, it's taken a beating the past week, right? Because that's the type of year we're in. Who knows what the weather's going to be from day to day. But the right windows and doors can improve comfort, boost energy efficiency, and upgrade your home's look. Pella's experts will help you find the perfect fit for your home and budget. With 0% interest until 2030, you can upgrade now, pay over time without paying a dime in interest. Don't wait. Visit PellaWI.com today.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Go ahead.
Is it against the law to be a moron or no?
The law.
Not yet.
I texted this to Jen earlier. The law does protect some people from things that are called an attractive nuisance.
On 94.5 ESPN.
With this being post-draft week, there are some teams that are happy with their drafts, some teams, too, that are not so happy with their drafts. And the 49ers are a team that have been pretty polarizing when it comes to the draft, because while they've been good and competitive, their roster continues to age, and they really... You start digging through their draft history, and it gets ugly pretty quick. So I want to tell... This is just, I think, a fun rant to play. And B, as you know, a part of this, I think, you know, maybe there's some Packer fans that kind of feel the pain here as well, in terms of maybe the drafts not connecting the way that they want it to. So this is from 95.7 The Game and their show, The Morning Roast.
Entitled the fan however you want, but this thing that there's like the fan police out there, there are 11 teams that would die to be the Niners. I'm a Niner fan. I'm born and raised here. This is the team I grew up with, and they make me go crazy in a weird way. It was easier being a Warrior fan when they sucked, because at least I knew they were god awful. I knew where we stood in the pecking order of the NBA hierarchy and the sports landscape. At the very bottom. That's where we were. We resided at the bottom. I think the most insane torture chamber to be stuck in as a fan is exactly where the Niners are. Knocking at the door and no one answers. Knocking at the door and never actually getting your championship. Not be able to actually win a Lombardi Super Bowl. It's the worst vortex Bermuda Triangle to be in as a fan. It's awful. Absolutely awful. I am so sick and tired of hosts and media people and fans policing people for just being insane. This is why this team travels so well, because we love it so much.
So he's looking for success and didn't seem to like he found it. Again, that's a five minute rant based on how disappointing the draft was and didn't think that they did anything to improve the team's chances and all these different things. And honestly, kind of feels like where the Packers have been the last couple of years, no?
Yeah, he hits on a lot of things that I feel like I've heard be said about Packers fans when people demand firings or people get cut and wholesale changes after another disappointing season.
Entitled Town is one that a lot of people love to throw out there.
The entitlement of being a good team that's in the playoffs. I think the Niners have more because they've made NFC Championship games more recently and Super Bowls, to be frank, where they've been even closer. But it does feel like a mirror of what I hear some of the fans and sometimes how I feel. I don't always feel that way, but there are certainly seasons where I have felt that way. Like, this is interminable. This is awful. The losing the NFC Championship games with Aaron Rodgers towards the end there, like 2014, those felt worse than losing a Super Bowl because you had it and you lost it in incredible fashion.
It's twofold. It's a spoiled rant. Someone who thinks the window is open 24/7. It's not. San Fran's window was open a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
The window can't be open forever. I mean, I love the passion, like Packer fans, you know. But they should have won that last Super Bowl, right?
I mean, they could have won. They could have won both Super Bowls. The first one where Jimmy G was the quarterback, and then the last one with Brock Purdy that they appeared in because they had leads. Yes,
you just choked. And you ran into one year where you thought you were going to be very competitive and a shot of going there, and you just got the injury bug a little bit like Green Bay did last year, which is part of the game. So to me, it sounded a little spoiled. Like, and we said it years ago. We're like, San Fran's window is open right now. And eventually it starts to close. It's like Detroit. Detroit's window was wide open probably 2 years ago.
Sure.
Right? Now it's closing. Right?
But I think
the Packers. The Packers game.
Yeah.
It's going to close. It's going to close because Micah Parsons is going to catch up in your cap, even though next year. But 2 years from now or 3 years from now, it's going to close. It's just how the NFL works.
But I think that's the hardest thing to admit as a fan, that the window is closing. Because you have told the story a number of different times. And I think I just saw it. No, it was a different highlight. But whenever the highlight of Jerry Rice fumbling, and then it was ruled that he was down by contact, and had replay existed, you know, it would have been overturned and you guys would have won that game. Like, anytime I've lamented on that, you go, eh, it doesn't matter. We weren't good enough to win the Super Bowl that year anyway. We got beat by Minnesota a couple of times, win that game, go to Atlanta, who had a better record than Minnesota, even if you win that game, probably not beating Minnesota. So I think for you as a player, it's almost easier to be more honest with yourself. Mm-hmm. And whereas fans, like, we still see Brett and Reggie and Leroy out there and go, no, we got a chance. Like, Packers win that game. We just went to back-to-back Super Bowls. Why couldn't we go to a third one and put a run together, even if in the locker room you guys are being more honest with yourselves and one another? I just think as a fan, when you've had, again, whether it's the Niners, whether it's the Packers, hell, you could even throw the Bucks in there with me, right? Where I've lied to myself about the Bucks a number of times since 2021. I think it's the hardest thing to admit as a fan that that window is closing, because you still see a lot of the same players out there and go, no, they can still get
a chance.
Yes.
I think it's interesting. We've turned the toad into a pejorative here on the program, but being a toad is like what fans are supposed to be. And that's largely what drives this sort of belief is, I mean, the Jets still can fill a stadium. Why? Because you always can renew your hope that your team's going to do it, and then apply that to teams that have success and are perennially in the playoffs.
I don't know if the Jets are. I mean, yes, they still feel the stadium.
Yes.
But every Jets fan I know is the most miserable person out there because they know their team is bad.
They win the offseason all the time.
I think they're happiest when they're miserable, though. Because I mean, know
Jets
people
fans
like
at this
that.
Point,
I mean, you have to find some happiness.
If you're a fan of the team like
but
the
but people,
Jets,
you know, I still run into people and they're like, God, how couldn't you beat Dallas? Well, you know why? Because they were freaking good. Dallas was the best team that I ever played against in all my years in the NFL.
Yeah, but you crushed them in 97.
Yeah.
And that was their window closing.
That was their window getting slammed shut.
I just get frustrated when people can't look at things objectively.
Well, but that's not what fans are going to do.
That's not what we're here.
No, I know.
You can do that, and we can be objective here, but our fan sneaks out all the time.
Yeah.
It's just,
like when
I can't
we
help
went
it.
Into 96, start there. Of the year, mm-hmm. and we were crushing it. We're like, we are the yip. We mm-hmm. are it.
Yep.
Okay. There's no way no one's beating us. Because
mm-hmm.
of that progression, you're like hungry. And that San Francisco game where we beat them there gave you so much confidence as to where, hey, we can play with anyone. You know?
Mm-hmm.
There was no way we weren't winning a Super Bowl that year. No way. But the problem is we thought there was no way we were going to lose it the next year.
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like there's been three...
That confidence became overconfidence
yes.
at some point.
Yes.
I mean, the 16-0, the offense, that season the Packers were, what was that, the following year of the Super Bowl? How many wins did they have?
14 in a row.
14, yeah. That team... After win 14, I thought, who's ever going to stop this team?
Joshy, that was the opposite effect because I remember that game because they went into Kansas City
mm-hmm.
and Kansas City kind of figured out the formula.
Well,
and it was the opposite effect of when we went to San Francisco.
Yeah.
It's like you lose that confidence. You're like, oh, some people know the combination now. And that's what happened.
Chewy, is
confidence confidence goes both ways.
This is a weird question to ask, so I want to make sure I ask it right. But did you guys lose Super Bowl 32 because you won Super Bowl 31 so easily? Like, you won by 14 points, and the offense didn't even play that well. So gives you the confidence of, oh, we don't even have to play that well, and we can win by double digits.
It was a handful of things. It was that, Gabe.
Yeah.
And then it was the fact that we were 12-point favorites. I mean, if you're a 12-point favorite,
yeah,
right?
I mean, you might see a 12-point favorite. I mean, maybe toward the end of the season, it's a little bit more common, but you might see it 15 times aligned that large in the entire NFL all year. And you guys are 12-point favorites in the Super Bowl.
And then one more thing, and I love the guy to death, but he was thinking about the next job.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget. We're at practice on like a Wednesday or a Thursday, which is typically a tough day.
Mm-hmm.
And me and Mike, and I've never talked to him this long before in my life, we're talking about investments. I'll never forget it. I think he was talking about investing in a restaurant. Hey, what do you think? This, that. And I'm like, I think we're late for practice.
Wait. He was going to you as the investment guy?
Yeah. Yeah, just bouncing ideas off of one another, and I thought it was because
seems
we I don't remember getting yelled at that week, but I specifically, and it was something that happened. We were goofing around, and he didn't like it in the locker room.
No, you have told that story. Yeah, you have.
Great story.
I have heard that story behind the scenes. Yes, you can't tell that.
But when we left after getting yelled at in the locker room, we knew it was going to be a long day, and it was.
Mm-hmm.
But there was none of that in San Diego, you know. We were kind of too California cool.
Yeah, but again, it was the window was closing, and you guys probably didn't even realize it. And then you knew it the next year.
Yeah,
but yeah,
because we didn't have Sean Jones, we didn't have Keith Jackson,
mm-hmm. you didn't have Wayne.
We Simmons. Didn't have Wayne. I mean, those are three pretty influential players in Super Bowl 31
mm-hmm.
that we didn't have. So I think it was a little combination of both. We were overconfident, and the spread should have never been 12.
Yeah. Yeah. But
And then Gabe, because I've heard, you know, I've seen the 30 for 30s or whatever they do with the Elway stuff. They took that 12 and used it as anger against us.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Which makes a lot of
sense.
There it is. But again, I think that's easier for Chewy. Again, I think as a fan, the hardest thing to do is admit the window's closing, which is probably what's happening in San Francisco. They don't want to admit that the window is closing because the team is aging.
Yeah. Correct.
You just got to take advantage of that window. Again, but it's always hard because there are, as Chewy said, with the Cowboys. Other teams are mm-hmm. pretty good. As Frank liked to say, other guys get paid too.
Forget about it.
Joshy.
Are you looking for a weight loss option that works? A weight loss option that will last. That's where Milwaukee Weight Loss comes in. I'm Josh Imagio, and I'm starting that journey with Milwaukee Weight Loss. From the first consultation, their team really listened and built a customized plan around me and my goals. As I said, I'm going on a little vacation bachelor party this weekend, and I'm feeling great. Already having to size down pants and everything. And for a limited time, you can get $200 off with their spring special. This program is different. No intense workouts, prepackaged meals, bars, shakes, counting calories or points. No drugs, surgeries, or injections. Just a proven metabolic reset. Safely and naturally keep the weight off. Some people lose 20 to 30 pounds in just about a month or two. Milwaukee Weight Loss has already helped thousands of people change their lives. Schedule a free consultation at 262-235-3980. That's 262-235-3980. Or visit MilwaukeeWeightLoss.com. Milwaukee Weight Loss, the time is now.
You're listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
People are optimists.
For the past 4 days, my hand has been itching like mad. That means I'm going to get money.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Brewers rolled last night, game one of their three-game series starting against the Diamondbacks. Josh probably had a bad time. Brewers were bunting. Sal Frelick hitting home runs. Probably just a bad night overall for Josh.
Yeah. I'm happy Sal is almost to a 0.0 war player, still working to get positive. Good for him. I'm glad he hit the ball over an outfielder's head for the first time since he hit an opening day home run.
That's not very nice.
I said I was happy. What are you talking about?
Oh, there was a lot of bunting last night, Chew.
Jeez.
Oh, like, it was.
Go look at StatCast and where most of David Hamilton's hits are coming from.
That's sick.
Ugh.
Gosh, you're not a fundamentals guy?
No.
No, I want. You know what Bryce Terang did in one of those rallies? Smashed it into the gap. Double. That's the stuff I want to see.
Yeah, it was set up by guys getting on base in front of him.
Yeah, swing the bat.
Any means possible, any way necessary, Joshy. But I would say it was something scary in the game,
yes.
Josh. I don't think that's being hyperbolic. At one point, Chad Patrick, who was the Brewers starter, like stepped back off the mound, and if you were watching on TV, you could see him mouth pretty clearly, "I can't see." And he later said that he felt like his eyes were kind of rolled to the top of his head, and eventually he cleared it up, and he ended up pitching very, very well. Gave a couple of runs over the course of five innings. But I wonder if it's connected to this, because part of then what we found out is Chad Patrick Chu is one of those guys who gets so nervous that he's constantly doing something before and during games. Sal Frelick explains more.
Chad gutting through, throwing up between innings and...
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to, you know, Chad's throwing up, like, all the time. I don't know what's wrong with him. He's just, like, always hacking up a lung, so. I was pretty confident that's what was happening when I was in the outfield. But no, he's a grinder.
So, Chad Patrick is somebody, Chew, that gets so nervous before he starts that he is throwing up before every start that he makes in a major league game. And apparently, as Sal said, he's throwing up all the time because he's so nervous.
That's not uncommon. Well, what is it when you poop or throw up that you can burst a blood vessel in your eye?
Throw up.
It's throw up?
Yes. For people who may have, you know, college, have a few too many.
Sure.
You'll see them and they look like they sort of, like their eyes look crazy because they burst blood vessels. Yeah.
Gotcha. I mean, I've been there.
How would you imagine you would see it if it was the other one?
Just really working hard on...
Grunting.
Right, but I'm saying if you were bursting... The thing about the eyes is you can see them. You look in a mirror.
Oh, yeah, but Chewy's saying you're working so hard to, you know, that the blood vessel in your eye bursts.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
That's what Chewy's saying.
But the equivalent might be a hemorrhoid, I guess.
That's
where Josh was going. You guys were just kind of missing the cross there.
Oh, okay. I'm slow on jokes today. I don't know.
But today?
Jeez.
See? That was unnecessary.
That was unnecessary.
Am I right? That's why he's number two.
That's why he's
working
number two.
On number one. Not pooping, but
I can't imagine what would have to happen for Josh to be number one in the they're mean to Chewy power rankings.
He's tracking. He just does it. He codes and he says a lot of stuff under his breath.
Yeah, it's just for the listeners, for the audience. Sometimes if I say it quiet enough, the audience and Jen and Gabe can hear it and you don't, which is the perfect place to be.
But you like to make fun of me when I drop my headset a little too hard.
No, that's not making fun of you. That is me wishing you would stop doing that for the betterment of the program.
Well, I'll be home in about
spiking it like you scored a touchdown is what he's asking you to do. But did you play with anyone like this, Chew? Like, because first of all, if you're losing vision on the field, like, I understand he was fine, he finished the game, but that's something I'm a little bit concerned about going forward. And B, I do wonder if he's vomiting all the time, if the two happen to be connected.
I would think, right? I mean, do you guys get migraines? I get these things where I literally cannot, like my vision shrinks so much.
Sure.
And sometimes it happens when I'm driving. I have to actually pull over. And I can't go until it goes away because I cannot see. Now, I can see, but I have zero peripheral vision, like none, you know?
Yeah,
and it starts with, you know how when you get a migraine coming on, you start to see the fireworks in your eyes and stuff like that?
Sure.
But the weird thing was me, there's no headache associated with it. It's just lack of vision.
I mean, I got to imagine that's got to be linked to...
I've been hitting the head a lot.
I got to imagine for you it's been, but like, so for example, I couldn't tell you the last time I had a migraine, but I know my aunt gets them quite a bit, right? And it's like debilitating. Like
it's
she
scary.
Can't, where she can't go anywhere. It's just, she's down for the count until the migraine passes.
I would think, yeah, I mean, I'm a lot of things, but I'm not an optometrist, but I would think the two are connected because I've had it that they've asked, I've asked doctors like, what the hell is it? And they're like, I don't know. I have no idea.
Yeah. I'm
a tricky thing.
Like losing your vision while you're out on the mound. Like that's scary.
But that's weird that he throws up in between innings. Like we had pukers on the team that before we went out, they would throw up cause they were so nervous.
But yeah.
You would think that once he takes the mound and gets settled in, the nerves would be gone. But wasn't Frelick saying he does it between?
Yeah, he's saying he's thrown up all the time. Sounds like he's hacking up a lung. Huh. And so now I just have more questions about it because, yes, Chad has been more of a starter this year, but he obviously played a tremendous role out of the bullpen in the postseason series against the Cubs last year.
Yeah.
So does he not get as nervous coming out of the bullpen, or does he know because he's pitching he still gets those nerves and then he throws up after? Like I got questions about when the vomiting is happening now for Chad Patrick when he comes out of the bullpen versus starting.
Yeah, I don't know because I do know this. It kind of re-spikes. So if we're in a game, right, and you know that, look, we got to go 70 yards to score to win the game or we lose – your nerves start like it's the beginning of the game again. Like in the middle of the game, third quarter, score
you're just
tied,
in the flow.
No big deal. You just do your thing.
Yeah. You've almost,
that's another added extra pressure that's like...
I mean, it's probably not quite accurate, but you're almost on autopilot.
Yes.
You know, like you've just trained so long, you know exactly what you're doing, and you're just...
Yeah.
You're not going through the motions because you're actually putting
your heart rate doesn't get as fast.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And then that last drive, it's like, and then you got to control it because it's just like, it'll fatigue you so much if you're not even on the field and your heart rate is around 120.
Yeah.
So, might be a little bit of that.
Yeah.
Scary stuff, though.
Yeah, scary stuff. But he still finished the game, five innings. Yeah. He didn't have his best stuff, had five walks, also had five strikeouts, only gave up one hit and a couple of runs. So, he didn't have his best stuff, but he's like you, Chew. He grinded. Just grinded
he's
through.
He's a grinder.
But again,
what do you
losing...
got to say about that there, Derby boy?
You haven't grinded in a decade.
Let me tell you what. Let me just tell you this.
Florida
Everyone
boy.
On this show, except for me, has taken off multiple days, including
like
yourself, who you just dropped
ago.
Upon us. I think I am at 2 days in 4 months.
That
is the definition of a grinder.
You took off a Wednesday like a month ago because you felt like it.
That's one.
You've taken at least.
Hey,
you missed Thursday because of the flight.
I didn't ask for your input. This is between me and Fedora.
And Fedora. In Indiana over there.
I'm a grinder.
Whatever you got to tell yourself there, pal.
Okay.
Hey, Wisconsin, let's talk about something near and dear to my heart. Yeah, that's beer, specifically great beer. If you haven't met Yuengling yet, allow me to introduce you. And I was actually doing this with my buddies. We were up in Lasonia. I was introducing them to Yuengling because one of the places we went to had Yuengling on tap. Well, what's Yuengling?
I had a tapper on Saturday.
Had a boy.
Delicious.
It's off the tap. Oh, nice little crisp, cold, refreshing. And Yuengling, it's the oldest brewery in America. Founded in Pottsville, PA, 1829. 197 years, six generations of family-owned brewing. Do you know how they became America's oldest brewery? By making great beer. You don't last 197 years unless your product tastes great. It's a real American beer. Smooth, rich, finally here in Wisconsin. So grab a Yuengling, raise a glass, and celebrate history the way it was meant to be celebrated. By drinking it. Yuengling, the oldest brewery in America. DJ Yuengling & Son, Pottsville, PA.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
But remember he said his birthday?
Yeah.
Maybe we get a little freaky.
Yeah. Like everyone's like, oh, look at our horny little boy. We're so excited. Good for him. Like, everybody's so supportive of Giannis, they just kind of look past it.
On 94.5 ESPN.
It is a Wendorf Wednesday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. And I know typically on Wendorf Wednesdays, we have Adam Schefter. Schefty had to go early this week, so he went on Tuesday. And, of course, our friends at Wendorf also bring us our conversations with Adam Schefter. If you happen to miss that, go check it out in the ESPN Wisconsin app. And if you're looking to get into that real estate game, got to sell, you're looking to buy, Tony Wendorf and Associates, Keller Williams, going to be able to help you out with that, wendorfteam.kw.com. I mean, we kind of already knew this, Chew, but LVN ain't getting that fifth-year option picked up. Bunch of them seemingly picked up yesterday. Deadline is coming up on Friday. May 1st is the last day to exercise fifth-year options. Can't imagine that fifth-year option is getting exercised for Lucas Van Ness.
Who was the last fifth-year option given to a player? Was it the safety?
Devontae Wyatt. Wyatt's on his fifth-year option this year.
Oh, Wyatt's on his fifth year. Okay. Forgot about him.
Yeah, because they had two first-round picks that year. Because obviously...
What if he's...
And then prior to that, was it Darnell Savage?
I think it was Savage. Mm-hmm.
You think they're working on an extension with him?
With who?
Wyatt.
I don't know.
Yeah, that...
That I mean, is...
He feels like a Jaden... Doesn't he feel like a Jaden Reed, though?
I mean, it feels like you
not
should.
Not great right now. Potential solid. Let's, you know, kind of like who was saying? Jason was surprised by Reed in the amount of money guy.
Yeah.
It wasn't enough. I wonder if they're trying that with Wyatt. I'd be okay with that.
I wouldn't be shocked. He's had injury plagued. You could also bring his number down significantly with like a short extension.
Yeah.
But guarantee.
Which would open up a little bit more money just in the short term.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have a problem with that.
Either would I, because then you kind of know what your future looks like, assuming Chris McClellan can play, right? McClellan is one of the wide bodies. Then you have Devontae Wyatt, and you know.
Hargrave's probably a one-year.
Probably. That would be my guess, especially with the way the contract seemingly is set up. But
year by year with him.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, they'll figure that out, certainly. Will the Intouch, they've got you coming up next.